This is Focus Online, and today our article is entitled, Four Things Christians Should Do July 4th. If you listen to popular media very long, you might assume Americans have the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of crabbiness. Complaining has long surpassed baseball as the national pastime. And there is a lot to complain about, especially for those who love righteousness and justice. Yet some of it sounds like the little girl who complained the air conditioner wasn't working in her Rolls Royce. The truth is, we possess many blessings living in these United States. We enjoy a reasonably good amount of security and peace. We can practice and share our faith in relative safety. We have opportunities to provide for our physical needs, and we have access to vast amounts of goods and services. We have a somewhat reliable infrastructure, and while diminished to some degree, we still enjoy freedoms which are the envy of much of the world. Yet, how do those who seek first the kingdom of God feel about the foreign soil upon which they live? The answer to this question affects how a disciple of Jesus approaches the hallowed anniversary of our nation's independence. Many will celebrate it with barbecue, sports, and fireworks. It will be a day to indulge ourselves and tickle our pleasures. Yet, may I suggest a Christian can do something much more selfless and significant this 4th of July, which can be more glorious than the fireworks show at the National Mall. First, we should pray for our country. Many of the decisions and needs in this country lay frustratingly outside of my influence, but they are not beyond God's. Proverbs 21 and verse 1 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." No one has greater access to the heart of a leader like those who pray to God. No wonder Paul said it should be our first order of business to pray for those who are in authority, because God can use their leadership to provide a peaceful environment for the gospel to flourish. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. May I suggest that you balance each comment of criticism about your country with an earnest prayer for help to your God? I'm afraid some of us would do little more than pray if that was our practice. And I guess that wouldn't be so bad. Secondly, we should honor those who lead our country. After all, we will hardly pray for someone we do not value. Amazingly, Paul commanded that we are to show governing authorities the honor and respect that is their due. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. This is the man who had scars on his back and wrist from Roman whips and chains. He was writing to Christians who experienced the ruthless treatment of Claudius and the murderous intentions of Nero. And yet, his instructions were not formed by his personal frustrations, but they originated from the wisdom of God. I am afraid that the rancorous speech of the political talk shows has found a home in the mouths of believers. Some delight in verbally skewering government leaders and roasting them over a pit of ire. However, Christians should be known for the respectful, honest, gentle, and caring way that they speak of those that God has placed in a position of authority. Please read and follow Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Third, we should shine like lights in our country. Every believer is to be an advertisement for Christ. Our role in this world is not isolation or imitation or even intimidation. We are called to illumination. Our conduct among unbelievers needs to be so honorable and our deeds so good that their minds are elevated to think about God. 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12 and verse 15. To the eyes of a corrupt culture, our walk carries much more weight than our talk. Like our Lord before us, we are to overcome evil with good. Romans 12 and verse 21, Matthew 5 and verse 16. Retaliation, bitterness, slander, and selfishness has no place among the diplomats of heaven. One of the best things that you can do for this country is to do something good for some lost soul, to reflect the grace that God has shown you. So meet that need. Speak that kindness. Share the gospel. Shine. And then fourth, we should long for our heavenly country. This 4th of July, all eyes will be turned towards this piece of soil which bears our nation's flag. And briefly, those eyes may turn upward and see the burst of fireworks against the night sky. But on a day like this, believers turn their eyes longingly beyond the skies. Our homesick hearts yearn with expectation because our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 20. So this year, while others are singing America the Beautiful, bow your head and whisper, "Come, Lord Jesus," and have your heavenly passport at the ready. This has been your fellow citizen, Tim Jennings, for Focus Online, July 3rd, 2014. Let all that you do be done in love.